We turn now to our scripture lesson for this morning, which is from the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 10, if you would like to read along. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declared the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Amen.
Now let's listen to the words of our gospel lesson today.
I'm going to be reading from the book of St. Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days to work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years long, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things Jesus was doing. Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, and my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scripture, and now to share my testimony. Amen. In today's Gospel of Luke, Luke records this story of the woman who was crippled for 18 years. He's the only one of the four gospel writers that records it. And Luke, being a physician, I could see why he would be drawn to such a story. But Luke gives us very few details as we dig deeper about the woman. We're told that she was crippled, that she was bent over. We're told that this had afflicted her for 18 years, but we know nothing else about the woman. We don't know her name. We don't know anything about her family. We don't know anything about even her intentions of coming into Jesus' presence. We're told this also, that a spirit had crippled her for 18 years. Now, when we think about ailments of the back and the spine and things like that, we can come up with, when we talk about this woman, we can think in our minds, well, maybe she was afflicted with spinal stenosis, or maybe she had severe rheumatoid arthritis in the back, or you know, we hear about all these orthopedic kind of things. But the scripture says that she had a physical ailment, but she was crippled with a spirit. Now, I want to set this up for you today. Jesus is preaching and teaching in the synagogue. In those days, it was the thing to do when you worshiped holidays and major events, you went to the temple. But the synagogue was a place you would go to hear the reading of the law, to have the scriptures interpreted. It's kind of like maybe going to the big church or maybe going to a small group class where you're going to, or what we would call maybe like Sunday school. But the intention of that synagogue was to teach and preach about the laws of God. And so that's the setting that Luke gathers us into today. And Jesus, we know, was a regular attendee of the synagogue. I'm sure as a youngster, he would go there and listen. And then we're told that as he got older, he actually stood up and read scripture. And then as he got older, he himself was one that would sit and teach among the people in the synagogue. And it's into this place that this woman enters. And why she comes, we don't know. Maybe she was a regular attender. Maybe she heard Jesus was there and thought there would possibly be healing. We just don't know. But we're told that she comes into the synagogue and she doesn't approach Jesus. She comes in as just trying to be one of the regular people. And Jesus reaches out to her. Let's watch.
Tell us again about the kingdom. Is there anything else?
Do not be afraid, little flock, for your father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell all your belongings and give the money to the poor. Provide for yourselves purses that don't wear out, and save your riches in heaven, where they will never decrease. Because no thief can get to them, and no moth can destroy them. For your heart will always be where your riches are. Woman, you are free from your sickness.
Look, she's cured.
It's a miracle.
Look, she's cured. You can't see.
Praise to the Lord. God keep you, Rabbi.
There are 6 days in which we should work. So come on one of those days to be healed, but not on the Sabbath.
You hypocrites! Any one of you would untie his ox or his donkey and take it out from the stall to give it water on the Sabbath. Now here is this descendant of Abraham whom Satan has kept in bonds these 18 years. Should she not be released on the Sabbath?
Jesus, as you see, initiated this event with this woman, the healing. You know, and as he sets her free, we're told that she praises God. But the synagogue ruler, as you saw, stood up within that temple amongst all those people and made that stark comment. Why do you come here on the Sabbath to be healed? Come on another day. Now, what is the law from the Ten Commandments? What's the law he's referring to? Anyone have that? Keep holy the Sabbath day? Absolutely. And what he was basically quoting was the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, your son, your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien residents in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. And the synagogue ruler, we're told, brings this up and says, this shouldn't happen. It's not okay to do this. And I'm not sure what the crowd's initial reaction was, but I can imagine that their first reaction was to shout for joy to see such a healing. But then when the synagogue ruler said that, I wonder what the reaction was. You know, one of the things about this story, we talk about a crippling spirit. And as I've thought and reflected on this story, there's actually three spirits here at work that I think we need to face. And the first spirit that affected this woman, and these are spirits that can affect us as people, as Christians, as fellow believers. The first spirit was the crippling spirit. The woman had a physical ailment. She was bent over. Her eyes could not see anything but the ground. And think about the things that she missed out of with this crippling spirit. Seeing the sky or the sun or the birds, being able to witness all of God's nature that was around her because she had this thing for 18 years. Now, when we think about crippling spirits, and especially this woman, we can think about the things that really happened because of a cause of them. You know, sometimes sickness and illness can cause us to lose our livelihood. Sickness and illness can cause us and take us from being with our families. Sickness and illness can cause severe depression. And as we all know, sickness can rearrange your life. But the ruler is so insensitive to the woman's plight, and he thinks he has truth on his side because, see, he is reading from the law of God. But Jesus had something else. Jesus had compassion. And compassion, my friends, trumps the fourth commandment. Jesus said to the synagogue ruler and those that sided with him, "You hypocrites," he uses that word strongly again, and he says, "Don't on the Sabbath you untie or you let loose your animals, your donkey that maybe brought you here, and lead them to water." And he says, shouldn't this woman, who's not an animal, but she's a daughter of Abraham, why shouldn't she be treated much better than that? I mean, if you're allowed to do that for your oxen and your animals, why are you complaining because I am setting a child of God, a daughter of Abraham, free from a crippling spirit? You know, my friends, this law sometimes can take us away from the charity that Jesus would have us do. This law kind of gets us sometimes in trouble. And it's not that we're not supposed to follow the laws, but we have to always think as we do so, as I said last week, what would Jesus do? And we have to think about the situation and see what God would have us do in the situation. Because you see, there's no appropriate time to love someone. There's no appropriate time to be compassionate. That should be all of the time, no matter what situation we're in. And so we see here that those 634 tribal laws that synagogue ruler probably had packed in his head fly right out the door with Jesus. Now, the first spirit attacked a woman and attacked physically. But the second spirit here in this passage attacked a man. Not physically. But this spirit crippled his soul. You know, Luke relates, like I said, the information. She was crippled. She was bent over. But she had been that way for 18 years. Okay? Now, what I assume from that is that this wasn't something she was born with. This was something that happened to her in her life. And if you think about this, how many times do medical people or say, you know, we kind of look at something and we say, well, this isn't really an emergency, is it? I mean, she's had this for 18 years. It's not going to matter if she waits another day. How many times have we kind of thought that about our own physical conditions when we're starting to come down with something? Well, this is an emergency. Might not matter till the next day. And Jesus kind of senses this as kind of what the synagogue ruler is kind of putting in his head in his case. But Jesus openly then breaks the rule and says, you know, there's never a time that we set aside for healing and a time we don't. And so we're told that Jesus himself breaks that rule, but in do so, lets this woman go, frees her from her ailment, and in that way, he honors God and honors the Sabbath. You know, sometimes when we get this legalistic attitude about things and we look at people that are having a struggle, whether it's a spiritual struggle, a physical struggle, an emotional struggle, sometimes what we do is we dehumanize them. And in doing so, it's very easy for us to look past them or look over them. You know, there's two things that a legal spirit will do. Your rules will rule you, and your rules sometimes will supersede the well-being of others. You know, society has a way of dehumanizing us sometimes. Sometimes it's hard for people who have gone through hard times, whatever they be, spiritual, physical, emotional, psychological, it's hard for them to see their own worth before God because of the things that society has done for them. How many times in my clinical practice have I heard fellow clinicians talk about a person, and instead of saying their name, they'll say, oh, that's so-and-so, the paranoid schizophrenic. Or that's so-and-so, the pancreatic cancer patient. Do you see what happens? We put these labels on people sometimes, and that's what was going on in Jesus' day, and we dehumanize them. And see, that's why it's so easy to walk past that, because we've, in our own minds, have shut that down. And Jesus turns that all upside down today. And he says, you know, that Mosaic law, it's not more important than this woman who's in need. That Mosaic law is not more important than the love and compassion that we need to have with and on us on the Sabbath. But you see, that spirit, that second spirit, led that man to have his soul be totally impaired and chokes our walk with God when we take on things like that. Because you see, we're all unique individuals. And we need to come before God and see where he would have us do. Now, the third spirit today is the spirit of joy. You know, if there's something that can trump sadness and grief, and if there's something that can help us overcome that, would be the spirit of joy. And as you saw, when that woman was healed, she was filled with joy. She turned to Jesus. She praised God out loud for his blessings, for his healings, for his goodness. And I can tell you that probably in that day and that time, that crowd probably wanted to roar with joy. And when that synagogue ruler stood up, he stopped everything. Folks, we can't let anything in this world contain our joy. We can't let anything in this world take us from the wonder and the love and the excitement of having Jesus Christ in our lives and knowing that whatever it is we're walking through, that he will be with us, that he alone has the power to heal us. You know, that was interesting about the synagogue ruler. He thought he had power. He thought he had prestige, but he couldn't heal that woman, could he? There's only one person that can heal us. And who is that? Jesus. Absolutely. Jesus. Now, today, the message here for us is this. Never, ever count people out. If someone is sick, pray for God's healing. Lay hands on them in God's name. If someone maybe doesn't understand the ways of God or the way of the world, let's teach them as Christians. If someone is walking through this world and has a burden on their back or has a burden on their life, we need to be the ones to lift it. If someone has failed and failed miserably, we're supposed to encourage them. It doesn't matter how bad, it doesn't matter the intensity of it, we're supposed to encourage them in Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus provided one thing that no one else could do in that day, and that was healing. And that was healing. And he showed that woman dignity, and he showed her respect. You know, sometimes healing can come in situations, sometimes it doesn't happen. One of the questions I get a lot as a pastor, but a lot of times I get this as a clinician, is how am I supposed to feel about this? Because this seems like it's a chronic illness. It's something that doesn't get better that I just have to deal with. And sometimes Jesus' healing comes in our attitude toward what we have going on, in our attitude toward those around us that we love that are carrying a burden. Sometimes Jesus' joy is the thing that will transcend us through these situations. Now, my friends, there are spirits in this world. And we're told over and over in the scriptures that there's an evil spirit, and then there's a spirit of joy, and there's a spirit of goodness. We hear about these spirits. And I think we have to kind of sometimes, when we find ourselves walking down those roads or dealing with situations, whether they're at home or maybe at work or the office or stuff like that, we've got to kind of step back. And what I've kind of learned that I have to do is I have to kind of really be candid with myself and say, okay, what spirit am I allowing to work in my life right now? I mean, there's a lot of times where I, like the synagogue ruler, would like to pull that trump card. But then I think about the Spirit of God and what Jesus would do. The spirit of compassion that trumps all everything. And as in the church, we are supposed to be those people that reach out. We're supposed to be those people that our church should be a safe haven for all people. You know, when my kids were small, I think every parent goes through this, but we have every Disney movie, we have every video, and I'll never forget, the Disney movie. Let's talk about what is probably the most common Disney movie the kids watch? Anybody? No? Cinderella? Bambi? Tinkerbell, Lion King. I'm going to tell you what, the one that really kind of shook me was this Disney movie. I'm going to show you a clip at the very end. I'm going to tell you why. Oftentimes, I said we struggle. We struggle with physical ailments. We struggle with emotional ailments. We struggle with people who sometimes decide to own their illness and not let anything else come through. And sometimes the church has gotten a bad rap, but the church has kind of distanced people. And I'll never forget, my son and my daughter would sit and watch this clip so many times from this Disney movie. And the one thing I'll ever remember them saying is, "Daddy, when we go to church, isn't it nice that everybody's welcome there?" And they would say, "You know, I think that's what's so special about church." And when they watch this scene, you'll see why. Because you see, Jesus made our community and made our church fellowship a safe place, a sanctuary. And we are supposed to offer that to others and bring people in and show them God's love and God's concern. See if you get the message.
I don't know if you can hear me or if you're even there. I don't know if you would listen to a gypsy's prayer. Yes, I know I'm just an outcast. I shouldn't speak to you. Still, I see your face and wonder, were you once an outcast too? God help the outcasts, hungry from birth. Show them the mercy they don't find on earth. God help my people, we look to you still. God help the outcasts, we're known by your will.
I ask for wealth, I ask for fame, I ask for glory to shine on my name.
I ask for love
I can't possess. I ask for God and His angels to bless me.
I ask for nothing I can get by, but I know so many less lucky than I. Please help people, the poor and downtrodden. I thought we all were the children of God. God help the outcast, children of God.
It's our heads. Father, Lord, you put in front of us a heart that would be compassionate. Lord, we thank you for the things that you do. We thank you, Lord, for a child's heart. A child's heart that understands that you are an open, loving, and accepting God. God, may we take away from this day the story of this woman, the story of your healing, and the story of your love. And may we always know that your compassion is something that is always active, that is always there, and that your love always surrounds us. Lord, may we in turn show love, mercy, and compassion. We ask this in your name. Amen.